Welcome, Potters, to episode 110 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. As Val is madly waving, we'd like to welcome all of our new listeners, international and otherwise, to our podcast. We are 110 episodes old. Woo! We are well into our fifth year.
Yeah, we really are. And I got reminded of that earlier this morning when I was doing an interview with The Inner Gamer, which is a local podcast for gaming stuff. And then we just kind of did one of these things where it was like, you know, hey, it's the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, which is today. And we started going through all the games and all their anniversaries. And I was just like, dude, I feel ancient. And now I'm like, we're what, the oldest running cosplay related podcast now, aren't we?
Yep. And we have been. Actually, when we hit 4 years, we were the longest running.
And we're still going.
There's still plenty to talk about in terms of the world of cosplay. They keep handing it to us on a silver platter lately, man.
They really do.
We don't like drama, but it does give us plenty to talk about.
It really does. And that's kind of disconcerting. But at the same time, we've also learned so many new things. There's new techniques out there. There's always something to learn so we can keep on building up our library. So that's always cool too.
Yep. Got to keep cosplay on a positive note, not on a drama note.
Cos drama.
Of course. But let's go ahead and start with cosplay updates, not including the tablecloth in the corner.
Oh, but that's like...
That's going to come afterward, actually.
Okay. I'm cool with that then.
Yeah. We're going to get to that.
Yay! So pride and joy right now, which is kind of sad. So cosplay update. I've got squat. I've been trying. I've been in the process of working on my Game of Thrones dress. I've repatterned it for the fourth time now. I'm going to make another mock-up of it. Really, I think the most exciting thing is that last weekend, Amber and I went fabric shopping on a whim because there was a Hancock's that was going out of business. Supposed to have clearance prices, did not quite have clearance prices. So it was less than fruitful. And instead, we ended up going to Joann's, finding mostly what we needed, getting the fabric for this lovely, lovely tablecloth we'll be discussing later. And yeah, my week has just been super busy with editing the last episode that we had, work, and then trying to get stuff ready for the interview I had this morning. So yeah.
Adulting!
Adulting! So great! Woohoo! Though I did find out in minor all-con news, it's cosplay related. I may be able to actually be there all day Saturday so I can actually dress up. I am so happy about this. I was getting really bummed out that I wasn't able to go through the whole weekend, not put a costume on. I was just getting sad face. I get to actually dress up. Yay. Your turn.
I have actually made a lot of progress in the last week. Unfortunately, I can't hold it up in front of the camera to show you because it's not camera friendly. It's big. And it's not something I can just kind of lean back and hold here because it's armor and prop based, of course. More or less, I have finished Aurelia's armor.
Yay!
I finished her props. I just have to build the harness for the back blade. The blade itself is done. I just have to build the harness to actually hold it. And, excuse me, I've started on the cloth bits. Unfortunately, that's where I ended up getting stuck having to stop because adulting. I have a pair of concerts next week. Of course, Symphony is still going, and I have to basically stop what I'm doing in life and practice because I have to be able to play. If I don't play, they don't pay me. And it doesn't help that I'm also on call this weekend and I've already been paged twice. So I had to, again, drop what I'm doing and take care of things. So unfortunately, life just gets in the way. So I promised myself that when I get back from my symphony trip, I'm basically only going to have a week and a half to finish everything. So I'm just going to have to really just pedal to the metal, grind gears to get everything done in time for AllCon, because I really would like to wear this costume. I haven't even touched the wig yet. I still need to do that. And I'm going to have to really quickly draft the fabric bits. And I'm not very good at drafting on myself by myself. It's better if you have somebody there to help pin it on you so you can see what you're doing, but I'm just going to have to make do. And I've also told myself at this point that if I don't finish it in time for AllCon, I'm not going to be devastated. I'll just, you know, wear one of my existing costumes, which is fine. I'm not going to shove myself and make a subpar product just so that I can wear it there. So there's no point in rushing, especially because I know life is still going to be getting in the way, as it always does. But I did develop a new technique, which if you guys are on the Akon forums or on my personal Facebook, you've probably seen, to make gems out of Eva foam. And I'm going to be filming that as a tutorial for you guys next episode so that you guys can see what it is that I did. It is really, it's a neat technique. I'm surprised that it came to me out of the box, but I think you guys will be pleased to see it. So other than that, and working on all con stuff, that has pretty much been my cosplay progress since last episode. Because unfortunately, yeah, life.
Adulting and life, you know, it happens.
So speaking of that tablecloth.
Tablecloth!
Let's get into all con.
Yay!
So if you guys have been living under a rock in the last month, AllCon is next month.
Yay.
It's literally in about 3 weeks now.
3 weeks? Yeah. God, we still have so much to do.
3 weeks from yesterday. And if you have not yet signed up for the cosplay contest, there is still time. You can still do this. You can still participate, and we would welcome you to come. If you guys have any questions at this point about the contest, how it's run, who can enter, how it's going to work, any of that sort of stuff, you know, is my costume eligible? Now is the time to ask. Ask now or forever hold your pieces. So at this point, we're still taking entries, but that will stop. Basically, the day before the convention, we're going to stop taking online entries, mostly because we have to, because we won't be monitoring the online document anymore. We will be tearing our hair out, panicking.
At the convention.
Yeah, at that point, you will have to sign up at the convention itself. And all you have to do is look for our awesome tablecloth. That'll make noise.
Noise!
So when you see our awesome tablecloth, you will know that is our table. Our geeky, nerdy table where you can sign up for the cosplay contest. This is the Friday contest, not the Saturday contest. You can do both. There is nothing in our rules that states you can't. So if you want to enter in both, feel free. But we want you to sign up for ours.
Yeah, because we're giving away a lot of really cool stuff. Like so much stuff.
Prize Bags had an additional sponsor. Dharma Trading actually generously gifted us, I believe it's $20 gift certificates.
Yep.
So one for each winner of the major categories. And if you haven't used any of Dharma's stuff, it's really good quality.
So good. So good.
I love jacquard paint. I really do.
Yeah. It's like the holy grail of all cosplay paints.
For fabric and textiles.
They also carry Angelus brand, which is fantabulous for leather. Oh my goodness. Cannot say enough awesome things about Angelus brand paints.
It's not something I would recommend, say, using on plastic, because it's not meant for that. But any sort of textiles, you can use their goods on. So thank you very much to Dharma Trading. And of course, we also have sponsorship from Artawigs and Epic Cosplay. So there will also be gift certificates and gift codes from them. And that's in addition to all the other prizes that we've been putting together, including an electric cutter.
Yeah, that one's cool. And I wish I had it next to me that I could lift up, but I currently have it all in storage. So that way I don't accidentally misplace things, because that would suck terribly. But yeah, it's a Simplicity electric rotary cutter. It's one of those things where it's like, you know what, that would be nice to have, but you don't actually spend the money on yourself to get one. This is really, really cool. It's got a 2-year warranty on top of that. We're also including an extra blade so you don't have to worry about picking up another one, and the extension table so you can actually cut much wider fabric. And basically, it helps you cut really nice straight lines, which if any of you know, cutting a straight line is near impossible in fabric if you're doing it by yourself. Case in point, cutting these squares sucked, and I wish I had a rotary cutter to take care of it for me. And that probably would have been bad. And I was like, I was really tempted to open up the box and be like, maybe I could just test it out a little bit. No, we got to keep it new. That would have helped so much. But yeah, it's just a cool little thing where we're like, it's something different. We know it's not a sewing machine or a serger, but with the money that we had, we were like, this would be a cool gift to give away to one of our winners. And it's just like a fun little thing that they can add for any future costuming or even paper crafting, because it takes care of paper craft too.
and it won't dull like normal shears do.
Yeah, that's the other cool thing.
It'll dull over time, as any metal does, but it dulls much slower than scissors.
So yeah, super, super cool. The other thing that we also just recently secured was Cosvox has graciously donated 5 boxes for all of our category winners, as well as some extra little goodies that once I get the delivery, we'll be able to disperse them accordingly. And the other one I'm really super cool, excited about, again, I wish I could show these things, but I don't have them in my hands. We got the brand new McCall's cosplay patterns. I was able to get them for a steal, thank goodness. Not literally actually stealing them, but for a nice discounted price as kind of like a thank you. But the brand new exclusive McCall's cosplay patterns, we're going to be giving them away as judges awards. So you can get that new wing pattern, which is really, really cool. And like the packages are this tall, they're ridiculous. Oh my God. I'm just impressed and amazed at how much stuff we got. Like, this is awesome.
We want to win these.
I know.
We want to drop what we're doing and compete just so we can win these.
I want all these things.
And if you guys want to see the McCall's patterns, you can go on their website, which is McCall.com. Look for their cosplay vault. I believe it's actually at cosplay.mccall.com.
Yep, you got it.
So you can actually get a preview of what these look like. And these really are nifty patterns. They are specifically for cosplay.
That's the cool thing about it, is that they actually consulted cosplayers and said, what kind of patterns are you looking for? And we'll try to make them happen. And they made them happen. It's so cool.
And we know we got responses that people want restaurant gift cards. We get that. Unfortunately, we could not get any sponsors from local restaurants to be able to give those. So we are sorry. We just didn't have the budget to spend on that. So
I'd rather have cosplay prizes. Maybe that's just me.
It's all good. So again, if you guys want to sign up for the cosplay contest, it's already on the AllCon schedule. You guys can see the details at all-con.org or all-con.net. We are cosplay.html. That is our page for the cosplay contest. All the details are there. The rules are there. Judges info is there. Categories are there. Everything you could possibly want to know. But if there is something that is not there that you want to know, you can always email us, podcast@cospod.org, and send us your question. We will be happy to help. If you need special accommodations, let us know. We will try and work with you as best as we can within the confines of what we're given and the hotel to get you into the contest. Because we want people to compete. So we want to be able to work with you. All you got to do is ask. If you don't ask, we don't know. So look for our geeky tablecloth, which has all sorts of Doctor Who on it. It has Donkey Kong. It has Marvel Chibis. It has all sorts of good stuff on it.
I found,
of course, Mario and his friends.
Of course. I found out as I was reading the fabric and I was cutting it up that the actual name for the Marvel fabric is called Marvel Chibi.
Yes.
I was like, I'm surprised they even named it Chibi. Okay.
Yeah, I read the bolt.
I was not paying attention to the name of it. You just happened to show it to me and I was like, I want.
But yes, that is the AllCon contest again. Thank you to all of our sponsors, who, of course, we will also name and thank once more at the contest itself. We could not literally have done it without their help. So thank you again to all of our sponsors.
And
to everybody who has signed up thus far.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody who signed up. And please keep asking all your friends to join in on the madness and the fun. I think anybody can tell you last year, they all had a blast. It was easy. Didn't have a whole lot to worry about. Didn't take up their entire Friday, because that's always the other big concern. Like, how long is this going to take? It's going to be like 500 hours? No, literally maybe 2 hours tops, if that. So it's a quick, easy. We have some fantastic judges this year. One of them was one of our winners from last year. So yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm so excited.
And you have a good chance of winning a prize, because we have very diverse categories.
Oh yeah. Got everything ranging
from 5 categories plus judges awards. You have a good chance of winning something.
And audience favorite this year too. We have something that's specifically for whoever gets the loudest applause, they're going to get an award too.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a good shot.
So excited. Can't wait.
All right. So that is AllCon. And of course, we hope to see many of you guys there. We will also be there Friday and hopefully Saturday.
Woo.
I know I can't be there Thursday due to work,
Yeah.
I just don't have enough time off to be able to justify it. And I don't know about Sunday because we are not staying in the hotel overnight. So I don't know about making the drive back yet. The schedule is up though, and I believe they've also got an app for mobile to where you can see the schedule on mobile.
Right.
So that way you guys can keep track of what you want to go and see. Because there are already many cosplay panels up at AllCon, among other things. So highly recommend you go to their website, check them out. I know that for another couple of days, I think they're still offering hotel rooms. And make sure that you pre-reg for your badge if you haven't done that already. Because you don't want to wait in line while you're there. If you've been to any convention of any sort of size, you don't want to be stuck waiting in line to get a badge on site. All right, let us move on, unless you have anything else.
Nope. We're spamming all con as much as possible as is, so yeah.
All right, so if you would like to introduce the cosplay in the news article.
Yeah, so this one just kind of magically appeared on my Facebook feed a couple of days ago, and I kind of giggled at it because I was like, yeah, I've been there, I've done that, wrote a couple of books about it. This was an article that was posted on Kotaku Australia from one of their cosplay journalists, essentially. And it was basically an article about what it's like to judge a cosplay contest. And I just kind of sat there, chuckled a little bit at it, going like, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've done that. And I was like, yeah, okay. The one thing that made me giggle was she was in this really uncomfortable hoop skirt and was hot and just was not happy at all. And I was like, yeah, that's why judges wear really comfortable costumes because you're doing that all day long. And it just kind of sit and made me giggle. But I thought it would be fun if we talked about our own personal experiences and kind of relate to people what it's like on the judging side of the table. Because most people know, you know, okay, the process of going up to be judged, but what about the judges themselves? How do they work? How do they come to their decisions? What's all this about on the other side of the table? Because we've both been there now, and I was there recently too, now that I've done anime, comic book, sci-fi, and video game judging. I got a plethora of knowledge now.
So I will definitely agree with the dressing comfortably part. The judges aren't going to wear their flashiest, most skilled costumes. But that's not to say that they aren't skilled. They're judging for a reason. So don't necessarily judge their skill level by what they're wearing to judge, simply because they have to be there for hours on end too, and there aren't breaks. And you don't get to go and get a lunch or anything like that. You just kind of have to sit through it. And occasionally they'll bring you a bottle of water, maybe some munchies, those little cheese crackers in the package. But yeah, you really want to be comfortable if you're going to be there for that amount of time, constantly talking to people, constantly having to be very intensely focused on the details and whatnot. So definitely comfort is probably number one.
Yeah, I always kind of give that look of you are crazy whenever I see one of the judges come in with like these big poofy ball gowns and they're sitting there for 6 hours and they're completely miserable because they can't do anything and they're hot and it's stuffy and they don't usually have enough water available. It's like, oh my goodness, no. And I know that the expectation is that, well, you're the judges, you're supposed to be pristine and you're supposed to be the best of the best and the elite. Well, you guys at least have the option of moving around a little bit more. It gets really uncomfortable sitting in a dress all day long, let's be honest.
And a lot of them have handlers now too that can help carry things, hydrate, that sort of thing.
So yeah,
Judges don't
oh,
need
no,
handlers.
we really don't. So that's rule one. We're comfortable for a reason because we're probably sitting in there forever and a day, and it gets tiring after a while, man. Talking to all those people gets really tiring.
It does. And I noticed that they had noted prejudging is becoming more important. Yes, the primary reason for that is the speed at which they're having to do these cosplay contests. You have, 70 plus people that you're trying to get across the stage as quickly as possible because the audience has a limited attention span, and generally they've only got that space for a limited amount of time. So they're time limited in all senses. So they move people across the stage very quickly, In which case, the judge literally maybe only gets 20 seconds of your full costume, because you have to walk onto the stage where the judges can't really see you in the distance, and then you walk off the stage and the judges are already frantically scribbling on their sheets. So out of that 30 seconds, they maybe actually are looking at you for 20 of them. And in that 20 seconds, you're making snap judgments. And I hate to say that, but it's very true. If you're only judging somebody walking across the stage without prejudging, you're making snap judgments based on what you can see from however many feet away it is, like 20 feet. And that's if they're right in front of you. It's very much a fashion show setup. So prejudging is so that they can see you up close and not do snap judgments in 20 seconds. They're making judgments over about 2 minutes, which, yes, is still incredibly quick, but it's time limited. I know a lot of the judges would probably like to spend more time with each contestant, but then instead of being there for 10 minutes, you would be there for 2 hours, and that's just prejudging. That's not the 5 hours worth of rehearsal and everything else.
Yeah, for those who actually do the 5 hour rehearsal, which is always like, why are you in there for so long? But conventions like Fanime and Costume Con, they actually do their judging over a 2 day period to give people those 10 minutes to actually talk to the judges. And it's just like, wow. So if you are not fortunate enough to get a judging time exactly when you want it to, you could potentially be wearing your costume for the cosplay contest on 2 days. And for some people, that just, it's asking for trouble. It's like something's going to get spilled, something's going to get ripped, something's going to tear. It's just like, oh my goodness. So there are conventions that do it. Oh my, no. I think I would immediately back out and say, I can't. I just can't. That's too much. I go to a con to enjoy it, not to spend my entire time in a room. No.
Plus, it also weeds out certain contestants to where if you make a costume that meets the 10-foot rule, looks good from 10 feet away,
mm-hmm.
you do really well on stage because you can't see the mistakes or the things you covered up. They may not be mistakes, I'll be fair. They may just not be things that you want seen. But if you're prejudging, you are literally a foot away from that judge. They will see it. They will know it because we've all done it.
Mm-hmm.
So prejudging puts the emphasis more on detail and solid work everywhere instead of just the 10-foot rule, which means you have to spend more time on your costume.
Yeah, and it's interesting how, depending on the convention and prejudging and however it goes, if they even have prejudging, audience members will sometimes disagree with the judges' choices because they weren't there at prejudging. It's because of that 10-foot rule. It looks fantastic on the stage, but what the audience may not know is that the entire back is being held together by paper clips and duct tape. You know, and that's something that the judges would see, but that the audience would not see. So that's also something to keep in mind, that the judges have the privilege and the luxury of being able to go up to these cosplayers to see all these extra details that you may not have had the opportunity to do. So they have more exclusive knowledge of those costumes than everyone else. So their choices are made with that in mind. And I think that tends to be overlooked by a number of people sitting in the audience. They don't realize that.
True. And along with that, you kind of have to think about it from the judge's perspective as well. Not just from you standing in front of the judges. It's almost like being a student in the class. You have to think about, what is the teacher looking for? What is it they're trying to test me on? What is it that I have to cater to? Because judges are different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to look for different things.
That's why I think it's always interesting when you have the most diverse group of people acting as judges. It's not just all cosplayers, but that you have somebody who actually works in like the theater industry, or you have somebody who works for historical costuming. They have all these different perspectives. And I think that makes up the more unique and interesting panels. And I like talking to those type of panels. I like working with those type of panels because a prop maker will be able to see something that I would have no idea about. Because I know that my expertise is not on props or armor. But when I had my prop team next to me a couple weekends ago and they were able to point out these things to me, I was like, oh, I didn't know that. That's really kind of cool. So that's always something to keep in mind too.
True.
Mm.
And one of the points they bring up in the article, which I'm staring at incidentally, is that it can be really hard to judge costumes that aren't in your expertise against costumes that are, because judges are going to have a bias. They're human. That's you can't get around that. Any judge in the world will claim that they'll be as neutral as they humanly can, and they'll try. But I will be downright honest and say every single judge has bias, and it's based on their expertise, which is fine. That's why they usually try and get a panel of varied judges who are good at different things, because that way, as a whole, which is how the ultimate judging of cosplay contests goes, they can vote as a group on who they thought was the best. Yeah, there's going to be a group bias. Can't get around that either. But that's just the nature of competition anytime you have a judge who is a person and not a computer. So there is that. I know the judges' awards are going to end up being slightly biased. That is the judge's prerogative. They were selected to be a judge. They have the right to give their award to whoever they want. That's how the world works, kids.
That's the nature of the judges' awards. I mean, that's exactly what they're there for. The judges can choose who they want to receive that award. That's why they're there. I mean, duh.
It's not meant to be playing favorites. That's not the point. The point is for the judge to award who they think did the best, who wasn't already awarded in something else, and usually it has to do with their field of expertise. But in the world of cosplay, it's extremely rare to find people who are all around good at everything. You're not going to find cosplay judges who are good at every aspect of cosplay. So you're not going to find very many of those all-around judges that can judge every costume. You'll have people who are good at sewing, people who are good at armoring, good at prop making, good at makeup, good at wigs, what have you. So you have to keep that in mind, is that you can be judged by your peers, but your peers aren't necessarily going to be good at all the things you are, and vice versa. So you have to depend on them to just give their best judgment based on what they know of it.
I have to say, when it comes to prejudging and actually choosing a winner, other than having like a system where you can address points and that makes it pretty easy, point blank, of okay, here's a winner, here's people who are gonna get this, whatever. If it's like a group consensus, that can be a nightmare all on its own. I mean, when you're doing prejudging, you probably already have in your mind a good idea of who you want to win, but then you take like those 15 people and you only have 5 prizes to get out and somehow have to whittle it down to those 5 people. And that is just such a nightmare and a half, because you want to give everybody something, because it's not easy being a cosplayer. We all know it. We've been there. It's not easy being up on stage. We feel like we have to give them extra something special for an award. And it's like, how do I take 15 and narrow it down to 5? And then you end up spending like half the time champing for like this one person. Like, I really want this person to win something. I really need them to win something. And convincing everybody else in the group that they should win something. It is a struggle.
It really is. It's a trial by jury.
It really is.
It really is. Because it you really have to convince your fellow jurors that this person deserves it. In a good way, not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way, yeah. I just remember the first time I was judging, and I was so trying really, really hard to get this one girl something. And, I had to give her my judge's award, and I was trying. I was like, this is her first costume. She did great. She really deserves, best beginner. She needs it. I couldn't convince the other judges, and I was heartbroken for her, because I was like, she deserves something so much better than my silly little judge's award of me nothing. It's rough.
And they do make a good point in the article regarding having to choose between those 15 people, because they mentioned that you can have one person who does something that they know how to do really, really well. And then you have the person who stretches their learning and may not have done it so well, but they learned a heck of a lot in the process and pushed themselves to learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
How do you judge between those two types of people? Or you have people that have the latest and greatest technology in terms of, microcontrollers, microcomputers, lights, sounds, the whole shebang. And then you have somebody who basically built an impressive costume out of things from a garage sale. How do you compare those people? It can be incredibly difficult, because you as a human being are being asked to make a decision for an entire community because that community, there's going to be people who don't like it either way.
Yep.
So basically, then you're going to feel like you have to justify your decision. And sometimes there really isn't a great way of justifying it besides saying, my gut went this way in this particular moment between these two particular people. And that's yep. not a great explanation, and people will rip you to shreds for it.
It sucks being a judge because there's always going to be somebody who disagrees with you. There's...
Or thinks you played favorites.
Yeah. I love it when they play that card against me, especially when it's at a convention I've never been to before. I'm like, how can I play favorites? I know nobody here. Explain, please. I'd love to know that. That actually happened to me at my first judging. All three of us were brand new judges to this convention, had never been there before, and they claimed we were playing favoritism. Like, yeah, okay. Good luck with that, guys.
The last part of the article, or I guess this is probably right before the end of the article, that they address the choosing of judges in the first place.
Mm.
And this is an incredibly touchy topic in the community.
Goodness, yes.
Because if you think that accusing judges awards of playing favorites is bad, it's three times as bad for conventions playing favorites and choosing their judges and their cosplay guests. Because it's starting to come down recently between people with big names who are well known, who have, you know, modeling careers being chosen as guests and judges, versus the people who may not be models but who are still very participatory in the community, that just may not be as flashy, I guess, right. is a good word. That, you know, you have people who have never competed being chosen as judges. You have people who may or may not have degrees in fashion being chosen as judges. There are so many different criteria.
Yeah. You have celebrities that are sometimes judges, as Heroes of Cosplay was very much made that apparent with with the Green Ranger.
Sometimes the convention will invite their guests as judges, but the judges have no experience at all in cosplay unless it's literally wearing a costume that was provided to them. Like you would purchase, say, at Party City. And there is something to be said for that, but at the same time, I can understand that as a community, we want to be judged by our peers. I mean, just like you would say trial by jury, you want to be judged by your peers. So conventions are having a bit of a hard time wrestling with it. And I know a local convention in the forums has definitely gotten heated over the issue, over one of their guests potentially judging a contest when that guest has a potential conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing's been announced yet, but people were already up in an uproar, and it's because the community feels so strongly about who should be judging these competitions. It's gotten really cutthroat nowadays with some of these competitions. Wow. It's not really as much about the fun anymore, and I feel kind of bad about that.
I know, it's not as enjoyable as it used to be. And I think that's why I started like this rule for myself. Like ever since the last ACON contest that we were at, I was like, okay, if it's anything longer than 3 hours, I'm not doing it. It's just too much stress and too much of my time wasted. I go to a con to enjoy it, not to sit in a room and melt and feel like crap all day. So, and ever since I've done that, and I found myself just stepping back and back and back and only showing up for either to be a judge or to doing like these really quick contests like we have at AllCon, that's when I have the most fun because it's so much less stress. You just hang out, talk to people. Doesn't matter who wins or loses because we're all enjoying ourselves. The competition aspect of it is like out the door, do not care. And then I go to see these anime conventions and how much effort they're putting into making these contests bigger, bolder, better. It becomes this nightmare that you just cannot overlook. It's, oh my goodness, it's just stress on top of stress, and it just gives me a headache thinking about it. Like, I can't imagine what the staff members are going through right now just to quell the cosplay community and tell them, okay, chill out, kids. It'll be okay. We'll announce our judges soon. Just take a deep breath with us.
They may not even know for sure who the judges are because they haven't even gotten all of their guests secured.
Yeah.
So they don't even know what their pool is yet. So it's not that they're not trolling you. It's they genuinely probably don't know for sure yet.
Yeah. It takes a lot of time to secure guests and to figure out who judges are. And sometimes judges change at the very last minute. That's what happened to me at Dallas Comic Con. Somebody had to drop out. I was happy to step up and take their place. That's what happens.
And it is an honor to be chosen as a guest. Don't get me wrong. It's an honor to be chosen and it's an honor to judge. But at the same time, it's not all fun and games. You're there to work. You're not there to party.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun, but it's work fun.
It's work fun. I think the most fun is when we actually get to see the stage show and have everything come together, even though you're still working through it and trying to write things down frantically. But yeah, being able to see people as they're transforming into the full cosplay, that's probably the most enjoyable moment.
See, for me, the most enjoyable is in prejudging, getting to talk shop with the cosplayers, getting to see how they did it, because you can learn a lot from other cosplayers doing things in a way that you didn't think possible. That's my favorite part.
Everybody has something different that they like about it. That's what's also so cool, is we're all different and unique. It just makes it fun. Mm-hmm. And stressful.
Stressful, but hopefully in a good sort of way. And as a community, please don't rip the judges for their decisions. They had reasons for doing what they did. Yes, sometimes it will be controversial, but that's the nature of competition.
Exactly.
I mean, cosplay is not solely the only competition with drama. Any competition from the World Cup to the Olympics to national spelling bees, they all have drama. They all have this sort of competition issue. It's going to happen.
That's why I talk about the spelling bees, because that's some hardcore stuff there.
We just have to be adults about it, be civil, treat each other the way that you would want to be treated. And while, yes, you can voice your opinion, no one's going to stop you from doing that. There's no use in insults. It doesn't advance the community. So just don't. Voice your opinion in a civil, discussive way, and then move on.
That's a nice way to end that on. I like that.
Yeah. I'll address the replica prop forum later.
Oh, well, that's a woo.
That's a separate topic.
Door that way. That's an after session topic.
All right. So next is a how to choosing the right materials for a costume.
Yeah, this is I like how I listed this as topic dump. What?
It was a topic dump from a previous email.
Yeah,
it really was. You guys may not know that we have to discuss the topics for the shows in advance so that we know what we're doing and we don't repeat ourselves too often. So we usually trade emails back and forth and we do topic dumps. Like, here are all the things that happened in the last week or two. What should we discuss in what episode? So it really was a topic dump.
Yeah, I think we still have a list of that somewhere. I got to pull it up again.
Somewhere. Yes.
So I don't know, how do we want to start this one?
That is a good question. I'm not entirely sure how you would start this, aside from the first thing that you obviously want to do with any costume is reference images.
That should be step one with everything, is reference images, as many of them as you can find under the sea.
And preferably with the same sort of lighting and coloration, so that you don't have to worry about getting weird dye lots. And if you can't find front, back, and side, which those are usually considered the minimum that you need for building a costume, at least get front and back, if at all possible. I know sometimes that's not always available to you. So all we can say is do your best. The internet is your friend in that sort of respect, as long as you have Say Search on, to go and find reference pictures, because you can use fan art too. Credit the author, please, if you're going to compete with it, so that they know where you got it. But you can use that to kind of help you fill out the image of whatever it is you're trying to make. That's any media, by the way. Movies, TV, video games, anime, whatever.
What I like to do on top of that is I also like to go back and watch whatever the media is. If it's a video game, I'll replay it again and actually watch and see how the character moves in the garment to get a better idea of potentially what type of fabric it's going to be. And also, you know, like how the light hits it. Does it reflect off of it? Does it have a shine? Is there a sheen to it? How does it flow in the wind? Does it sit really close to their body? And is it really difficult to move around in? Just little things like that give me a better idea of potentially what material is in that garment. It's easier with film and television, of course, because it's actual living people. Shocker. A little bit more difficult with anime and manga. Getting better in video games as more of them are starting to add textures on top of clothing, so you can get a better idea of, oh, that's cotton, oh, that's twill, great. So at least being able to replay and rewatch things gives you an idea of what the fabric may potentially be.
Mm-hmm. I do know we did just get a question in the Q&A. We are going to address that in our after session. So don't worry, we did see it. We do know about it. Just we're going to go ahead and finish this topic and then we're going to address it. So thank you for that. If you don't have live media to watch from, you can take an educated guess based on their environment that they're in, because chances are good that there are certain fabrics that work well outdoors, if your character is an outdoor person, say an adventurer, or if they are indoors, say if they're from a court. Also, you can use the historical period that it's based under, if there is one. Sometimes there isn't one. But if there is one, then you can research the fabrics of that time period and go for something of a historical accuracy. Like say Naruto, which I know is not the greatest example, but it was partially based in feudal Japan. And in that sense, you can go and research feudal fabrics. I mean, it's not necessarily 100% accuracy because obviously Naruto is a fictional show. But you have an idea of what it was based on. And, you know, something like Star Wars doesn't really have a historical component to it because it's based in the future. So obviously you can't look back on fabrics from that, but you can look at their environment. They operate outdoors a lot. They are very durable kind of fabrics because they have to fight in them. They're probably somewhat lightweight because they're in hot places a lot. So you can take some educated guesses based on where and what the characters are doing most of the time.
Yeah, you'll be really surprised at how many Star Wars characters actually wear linens and cottons. Like there is a vast number of them. And if you're ever unsure, especially with those type of very, very big popular costuming groups, they already have references out there for you and tell you exactly what the costume was made out of. So you can go to the 501st and they'll tell you how to make your Sith costume. Done. You're there. And it's the same thing with a lot of video games now. Gearbox and the Mass Effect franchise, both are really, really good about giving out character designs and just like saying, here, cosplayers, there you go. Here's all the stuff that you need, the full 360, whatever you want for the character, there you go. And we've even made pep files for people too. So it's like, hey, done. It's like costume in a box. There you go. You just got to put it all together.
Of course, this is all the cloth stuff. For anything that is not so cloth stuff, which is AKA the hard stuff, hard as in like plastic hard stuff. That one's a little harder. Ha ha.
Ha 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 ha.
And the reason it's harder is because you have so many options, mostly only limited by budget, skill, and tools.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you want to make hard stuff, you can make it out of anything from cardboard boxes to poster board, to thermoplastics, to craft foam, any kind of open or closed cell foam. You can even melt milk jugs and make it out of that. You can melt plastic bags together and make fabric and weave it into armor.
Yep.
And of course, that doesn't even get into things like dragon scale, scale mail armor, chain mail armor that are made of metal, where you can make your own rings. So you've got a whole bunch of choices when it comes to making the non-textile stuff. And there are a myriad number of places where you can get it. The internet knows all things, especially if you go into forums like the RPF, where that is their specialty. They work on props and armor all the time. And they're international. So if you live overseas, say in the UK, and you need a local supplier, ask. Chances are good someone knows of one, or two, or three, or four, that does shipping. And if you keep your eye on the news, they're coming up with new materials all the time. I mean, now we have transparent and black warbla that we didn't used to have. And they're coming up with new alloy metals that are light and hard so that you can use them in place of, say, stainless steel or aluminum when it comes to making a scale mail. So it's sometimes it's just a matter of Googling what it is you want to do. And it may take a few tries to get Google to recognize what it is that you want as your end result. And then you can start browsing through forum posts, through blogs that have people have written up over how they made their costume, look through Google Images with Safe Search on, so you can see pictures of other people who have done this costume. Chances are good if you pick a costume, somebody else has also made one. It's very rare that you are the first person in the entire world to have done it. So, rare. Not impossible, rare.
I've done it!
Anyways.
I'm a special snowflake, though, so meh. When it comes to fabric, this is my rule of thumb. If it's something that's supposed to be loose and lightweight, go for cottons. If it's something that's supposed to be fancy and you need to dress it up, go with satins, preferably matte side out, because that way you don't get super shiny of doom. Though now they're making satins that have much duller shine on that, so that's awesome too. If it's something that's supposed to be kind of fitted to your body, but you want to breathe a little bit, look into jersey as an option. So just kind of look at just all these little different things that could potentially make up an outfit. And I'm with Amber too, that look at the character's environment. Because a lot of times their environment will make up exactly how you want the clothing to end up being ultimately. If you're going to be standing outside in the winter, then you probably want to wear something super, super warm. So you don't go with spandex or jersey.
And you also have to make allowances for where you're going to be wearing that costume. If you have a Game of Thrones character who's going to be going to Project Akon in June, you're probably not going to want to use full layers of wool everywhere.
No.
Unless you want to die. And I mean that in a literal sense. You will get heat stroke. So, yes, a lot of these costumes have very accurate fabrics, but you also have to bear in mind that you're probably not going to be wearing it in the same environment that that character would. So you have to make some allowances for where you are and where you're going to be wearing this costume.
Yeah. You can always adjust. It's not like the end of the world. I would have loved to have made my tentacruel out of like really pretty silk fabric, but I was like, let's be honest, I'm going to be in downtown Atlanta in summer. It needs to be cotton. Like there is just no other thing I could do with it. So just be sensible about your location, because that makes up a huge difference on what type of fabrics you should pick.
And you can always layer. You know, if they look like they're very obviously wearing colorful silks, you can always line that silk in a cotton or in a cotton weave. You can get a silky solid instead and use that for lining so that that way you get the appearance on the outside, but you can breathe on the inside, which is very important.
There are always ways to kind of cheat it and make it work for you.
And you can always alter the cut as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just make sure you get more material if you think you're going for a more modest cut, say in winter, or... you know, you may need less material if you are going to use cutouts if you're wearing that costume in summer. So you can always make modifications. The only thing that I would say as far as material goes is make sure that you have enough in case you screw up. Because you will screw up. And that goes for even the professionals. You will have your mind wander and you will make a wrong cut somewhere. You will cut a piece out backwards. You will sew a piece on backwards.
Done that.
You will get two different swatches of fabric that are not the same dye lot.
Oh, done that too. That was awesome.
you can have accidents happen whenever you go to wash the fabric for the first time. You can have accidents happen when you dry the fabric for the first time. You can have fabric shrink the way it wasn't supposed to. You can have fabric mislabeled in the store. Yeah. Your children or your pet can get a hold of said fabric. You can spill something on your fabric as you're working on it. I mean, anything can happen. You can leave the fabric in your car and have it bleach itself out.
Yeah.
You can do any number of things to the fabric. So always make sure that you get extra of the same dye lot in case you screw up, because it will happen at the worst possible time for you.
Yeah, Murphy knows when it's the worst time possible. Thanks, Murphy.
Yes. And make sure that you wash your fabric or textile. It doesn't have to be fabric. Wash your textile before you use it according to the directions on the material, not what you think it should be. And iron it if it needs ironing so that it's nice and flat. Make sure your pattern pieces, if you use them, are also ironed flat, because otherwise you will have inaccurate cuts. And then make sure that you store it, if possible. It's not always possible, but if possible, in a way that minimizes wrinkles. Because otherwise you'll just have to re-iron it.
Yeah, that's not
me. I know you're looking for something.
No, I was looking, I was like, yeah, that's not me with my patterns. Whoops!
No. Sometimes what you can do is the long cardboard tubes that they sell home decor fabrics on in the store. Sometimes you can ask them for one, and you can use that to store fabric on. Or if you end up getting something like a roll of butcher paper at the store, because you'll use it, you can use the roll that was inside the butcher paper and you can roll the fabric up on that. It's generally better to roll fabric than it is to fold it. But like I said, sometimes I know that's not possible and that's okay.
Yeah, somehow rolling takes up more space than folding, and it's just weird dimensions.
It does. And then you'll end up having to build basically, you know, two slats of wood with pegs on it, and you'll end up hanging your fabric on what are effectively dowels. And that can, like you said, take up more space than you may want if you live in a small space.
Yeah, exactly. That's not exactly ideal, which sucks. So, hey, more ironing. Woo!
Just keep your iron handy.
Yes.
And keep it at the proper temperature per the instructions on the fabric, because another accident is roasting the fabric unintentionally under the iron. Yes, fabric does melt.
Totally have done that on accident before. Whoa. On a finished costume, no less. That was great.
Yeah. I have discolored fabric that was dyed by ironing it. And also, if you iron silk while it's wet, you set the stain.
You totally set the stain.
Found that out the hard way, too.
Yeah, I remember that. Whoops.
So there's all sorts of things. If you can't find instructions in the store where you bought it, generally you can email or call them to ask, and they can direct you to somebody that can help. Alternatively, take it to a friend who knows what it is and knows how to care for it, or ask the internet.
Google, it is your friend. Most days.
Make sure that if you do get it off the internet, check at least two sources, because you can't always trust what you find on the internet, as we found out last episode. Take it with a grain of salt, preferably 2 grains of salt, unless you are hypertensive.
I prefer 3 grains.
I prefer a handful myself, you know.
I know. Salt's good. I don't know about you, but salt's good.
I believe we have adequately covered this topic.
I think so, too. There we go. Topic dump.
With that, you guys can contact us on all of our social media, which you can find here. You can, of course, email us at podcast@costpod.org for any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, compliments, whatever you need for your cosplay to be complete. As well as asking questions about the cosplay contest, please do sign up. It is all-con.org/cosplay.html. That is the URL for you to find our contest page. Go sign up, go check out the rules, the categories, the judges, everything that you could possibly want to know. And last but not least, thank you to those who are downloading the show. We love you guys. We are glad that you guys are writing to us to tell you how our podcast has changed your cosplay life. It is very cool. Thank you so much. Please keep them coming. We will see you guys in episode 111. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.